Saturday afternoon. I tell you, everybody, you know, being sick yesterday and not doing the show Friday night, it actually started to make me think. What about possibly doing a show every Saturday afternoon instead of Friday nights? Because I know Friday night, there's tons of people that are doing shows right after SmackDown. Something we actually have to talk about this week, everybody. But
sure.
We didn't want to come up here Saturday afternoon under these circumstances. But obviously, we are. This is Breakfast Soup. I am Don Tony. Good evening, everybody. Good afternoon, good evening, wherever you live. I am Don Tony. Joe, along with me is
Anthony Missionary Thomas. What's going on, everyone?
13 What's up, dude? More releases. 13 more releases.
Only 13.
Well, it was 12 and a referee.
Right.
It was 12 and a referee. But, you know, I wanna just open up with just a general comment. Because, look, we talk about these releases. We could talk about it in really two different ways. As a wrestling fan or business. And there's a stark difference between the two. Because it's very easy to go on social media, WWE, you suck. WWE is dying. You're fucked up. You're this, you're that, you're this. Then you look at the business side of it, and this is my opinion on it. You see all these, that's only one picture? Oh, that guy, well, actually, okay, all right. I see what I did over here. I want to prove a point to everybody over here. See these pictures? These are random Performance Center classes. You know, some of them are new, some of them are old. You know, but these are screenshots that we see every few months. They sign a whole plethora of people. Not for nothing.
Yeah.
With all due respect, about 75% of you out there don't watch NXT. The ratings are not all that spectacular. A lot of you out there honestly don't give a shit about a lot of these wrestlers as a wrestling fan. But yet, when WWE issues releases, there's outrage amongst everyone. And the thing is that, in my opinion, it's been too long that WWE has been hiring way too many people. And when you see, this is just my opinion, sorry about the small photo, but when you see this, and you see them hiring 10 people, and then 6 months later, another 8 people. Then 6 months later, another 7 people. And then 3 months later, another 6 people. And then 3 months later, another 9 people. You know, that Performance Center is starting to look like one of those illegal immigrant trucks that has like 40 people in it where it only seats 3. Sooner or later, something's got to give. We're still dealing with COVID. You got a year and a half. And I'm not defending WWE. But you got to have a little bit of a balance. As a wrestling fan, I am angry at some of the releases today. But it doesn't surprise me because if you watch WWE television and you go on SmackDown, this week it's Rey Mysterio versus Jimmy. Next week it's Dominic versus Jimmy. The week after it's Dominic versus Jay. The week and 15 minutes of a two-hour show is already gone with the same people every single week. And then you got, you know, where do these people fit in? Some of them is not surprising. We'll go into each release today. But the thing is, you got to try to have a little bit of a balance between the two. As a wrestling fan, it sucks. Just life in general, you don't want to see anybody lose their job. But at the same time, though, I mean, why would you keep 20, 30, 40, 50 people on the roster? This is the Nick Khan effect. I'm not saying it's a good thing or a bad thing or I praise it or condemn it, but this is something that we've all been talking about for about 5 months now. This should not be a surprise. Where am I wrong, Mish? Or do you agree?
Well, no, I'm actually siding with WWE on this one. You know, this isn't a problem that we've had for 5 months, DT. this is a problem that we've had for at least 15 years. 15 years, WWE's roster has been bloated, has had way too many people on the roster, and people always complain. And you're right, the knee-jerk reactions, everybody automatically teary-eyed whenever they see another name on the release board. Yeah, the Nick Khan effect is a real thing. There are many changes happening to WWE right now. And I know everybody thinks that, well, I shouldn't say everybody, but there's a majority of people, some people who are respected, that feel that WWE is just going to sell it by next week. There are other shows, there are other sites out there that are pushing this narrative that the reason they're firing everybody is because WWE is ready to sell. They're ready to sell right now. Right now it's on the table and nobody has a clue about it, but it's going to happen. And I completely disagree with that.
Yeah.
I think these roster cuts are something that people have been begging for years. People have been complaining about the fact that there's just way too many people on, you know,
Dream 101. You're so way off. I don't support releases.
I do. No, support, put that on me.
I support smart business. And they should not have hired 60, 70 recruits. See, look, this is something that I think everybody out there already knows, common sense. This is Captain Obvious. Every time you see a banner with 8 recruits or 10 recruits and nobody's released, those new 10 recruits are now giving pressure to people who are already there 6 months, a year, 2 years, 3 years. Then, we're scouting in Las Vegas, and they hire a bunch more people. Where do these people go? It's only a matter of time when you sign 10, 20, 30 recruits in a year, and you look at it, and you're like, we got 25 people on this roster that we never brought to TV, and we can't figure out how to fit it in. What do we do with them? You know, so... Sports. WWE, every time you see one of these big banners, you should be concerned because the performance data started with 15, then 30, then 40, 50, 60, 70. Where are they all supposed to go? The Evolve, you know, deal, they can't go back to Evolve. You know, like, where do they go? They're not going to go to NXT UK. Don't live over there. So this should not be surprising. But, you know, when I see people writing, and a lot of people write this, WWE is dying. The fuck are you smoking? Let's be honest here. Record profits, you know, this is for business, not a wrestling fan, for business.
Record profits, new international expansion, new control in the UK with the new Comcast Peacock deal, not including multi-year billion-dollar deals with NBC along with Fox. Yeah, no. Company's ready to go right under.
Like I said, everybody, we could have 1,000 people right now on this show tuning in if we sat there and go, you suck, WWE, fuck you. You're toying with people's lives, this and that. You're so unbalanced. You hoard all these people, and now you're... Nah, man. You know, getting all that emotional shit, you know... Yeah, he cares. She cares. This and that. Let's be a little realistic here. You know, they have way too many people on that roster. And let's also be honest. Every single person that has ever signed a deal for the Performance Center, I'm talking about the Performance Center, they know that they are trying to get a spot on the WWE main roster. NXT right. is great, but NXT is not killing it in advertising revenue. NXT is not killing it in house show revenue. NXT is not killing it in merchandise revenue. The days of Sasha versus Bayley, NXT TakeOver Brooklyn, those are out the window for the foreseeable future. Nakamura, that's out the window for the foreseeable future. When you hear big-time stars, Adam Cole or others, I'm not saying he said it, but when you have big-time stars that are in NXT, I don't want to go to the main roster. Okay, you want to stay in NXT, no problem, $60,000. But I'm worth a lot more than that. I understand something. but NXT only gets 600,000 viewers on TV. We don't sell much of any merchandise at all. We're doing it in a small capital wrestling center. So WWE, whether the wrestlers in NXT hate the phrase or not, WWE business is about Raw, SmackDown, and pay-per-views, and house shows, and merchandise. NXT was never about that. When it got that momentum and it started touring into big arenas, it was selling out tickets and there was some special people there and special events. But you go back, I challenge you, people don't want to do the research. Like last night for SmackDown, SmackDown was at that arena, I think in Florida, and everybody's like, wow, WWE's not letting anybody take videos with their cell phone. Wow, they're that petrified about AEWC. But no, that fucking arena has that policy for years and years and years. There's been a plethora of concerts where you're not allowed to record. But the point is you look at back takeover. Use Sasha Banks versus Bayley. Take over Brooklyn. I challenge anyone out there to do the research and see how many people were on the NXT roster or in the Performance Center when that history went down. The Performance Center, I don't even know how long it was in business at the time. They didn't have 60 people at the time.
You're missing the fact that NXT on USA, NXT on television is technically there because USA requested it.
Right.
USA
it's not a money, it's not a huge moneymaker.
NXT wasn't even expected to. NXT was a network show until people demanded it, until USA demanded it. So it's funny, like, oh, NXT is getting low ratings and NXT is doing poorly. NXT should have never been on television. Anything that NXT has done has been pure profit. Pure profit. Why, for a show that's never been on TV, making a 0.001 rating is a profit. That's why I don't understand how people miss this. It's simple. NXT was on USA because USA wanted a third show. And let's be honest, main event and 205 Live were not it. So NXT being on USA is a positive for WWE. I don't know why that because there's new changes to the Performance Center, there's are new changes to the roster and releases, that it's all of a sudden seen as being a detriment to WWE and NXT is going to get shelved. Dude, even if at worst NXT does get shelved, DT, how long do you think it is till they have another performance center, another developmental camp? I mean, it used to be FCW, Deep South, OVW. Well, I mean, how many different training grounds has WWE had over the years?
Well, let's be honest. I mean, are they scrapping the NXT name? No. Why would you do that?
I'm just addressing the people that think that that's what's happening right now.
You got everyone out there. You got as emotional as it grabs you, because that's what it's designed to do. You know, when people write a tweet like, "What the fuck is wrong with you?" In the case of a few people that were released, I am 1,000% in agreement. We will get into them. There's a few that really pissed us off. There's a few that I know are going to strike some nerves tonight. I got a lot of things to say, and we'll get into the ones that kind of anger us the most in a moment. Before I do that, just want to give a little shout out to Crazy Cruiserweight. Yes, I added Denzel Dijonette, the salad dressing. I added him to the list, unfortunately. You know, it sucks. It sucks. Like I said, we'll get into each one, one by one. Puffy 89, the releases are getting out of hand. Yeah, but this is why, you know, what's that phrase? If you didn't know, now you know, you know, you know. You have to be educated and understand and do a little research. I'm not saying you, but people have to do a little research as to how many people are in the Performance Center, how many people are on the NXT, how many people are not being used on TV. You just look at a billion-dollar business with investors. I'm putting my wrestling fandomhood aside for a minute. This is strictly business, what I'm saying. You have a billion-dollar business, and you're doing your quarterly financials, and you're seeing 20, 30, 40, 50 people that are not being used, and you see how much money you have to pay out for those people, where is that money coming from? You know where it's coming from? Holy shit, they did a meet and greet yesterday, WWE, where a couple of months ago they were charging $125 to do a two-minute virtual meet and greet with someone. Alexa Bliss was $400 to talk 2 minutes. 6 months ago, a year ago, it was $125. Now it's $400. You want a shirt? No problem. Now it's $29.99 instead of $26.99. You have to do smart business. And unfortunately, smart business, you know, involves making decisions like this. This is on WWE, no question, because WWE, that roster was so freaking bloated. So bloated. Okay, we put Leon Ruff on TV. Okay, we put this person on TV. That means other people are off TV. Yeah, but we're doing this major storyline with Hit Row and Legado del Fantasma. In our opinion, the storyline sucks. But they're the bosses. They're the ones that choose what we want to see. How do we respond? By watching or not watching. That's plain and simple. You see the grizzled young veterans soon. And we talked about the quarter-hour ratings for 9 months and showed all the drops. I even said 6 weeks ago that, you know how they're going to try to get them over? Do a stupid comedic storyline. Sure enough, boop, playing golf. Right. With you could see some of this on the wall. But, you know, you got to take, if you really want to understand what's going on, you got to be upset as a wrestling fan, no question. But you also have to take a little bit of common sense and you look at this and you say, wow, whoever fucking hired all of these people, I mean, yeah, you're looking, pardon my pun, for the diamond in the rough. But in 3 weeks or 2 weeks, when they're checking out new students in Nevada, and then they announce the latest recruits and you see 8 more people added, those 8 people are going to try to take the jobs of some other people who are in the performance center already now. And sooner or later, you now have 20, 30, 40 more people added again. Sooner or later, it's got to give. But I think we both agree that some of these names, it's just baffling. It makes no sense with some of these names. King of Games, I'm still sick. I'm on some heavy meds right now, but I figured, you know, for an hour today to talk about the releases, I should. It's very important, obviously. So I did everything I could to be here live, and Mish was kind enough to join us on Saturday afternoon. And who knows, sure. Saturday afternoon might be a regular thing going forward. So, and since we're talking about releases, Mish, Kareem has got a pretty cool idea. You should do a comic book review show here and there.
No, I don't really keep up with the newer stuff at all. I really don't. So, you know, all the fans of like the new woke Marvel and woke DC, I'm not really a fan of those. I've read a couple of issues of just random comics here, but no, sorry, Kareem. I'm really not into this brand new generation of comic books. So,
yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. All right. We might have to do a new segment here and there. Tweets that do not age well. This one was from about 10 days ago when it was Triple H's birthday. This photo makes up for the graduation photos I never took, the prom photos I never took, the high school wrestling photos I didn't get a chance to be part of, and not even having my photo in my yearbook. Thank you very much. You could add a picture of me on the main roster. It's not going to happen. And I'm not trying to make a joke. I feel bad for the guy. Honestly, I'm not going to lie. There are 4 people that got released that I'm kind of pissed off right now about. He is one of them. That guy, when people said they gave him the North American title, they were going to book him like a joke. No. They booked him like a Nikki Cross. Just he didn't come out every day and say, I almost was a legitimate champion. I almost was a superhero. Leon Ruff was the ultimate underdog. And showed how fucking great he is. And that match he had with Isaiah Swerve Scott, still my top 5 matches of the year.
Wow. No one. says that. Praise.
So I feel bad for him. But to me, this takes the cake. Hours before this went down yesterday. Happy anniversary, Jake. Yeah. Happy anniversary, yeah. Jake. That was yesterday. Happy anniversary. Now, what we're going to do right now is I'm going to give everybody one person that was released to have a little bit to say about. I purposely did not choose the same person that Mish is going to bring up. So the person I choose might not be at the top of everyone else's list. I'm going to say something right now that's going to guaranteed annoy some people out there. I was going to play a video clip of the episode I did the first week in June, but I decided against it. You remember the first week in June? Jake Atlas beats LA Knight on NXT.
Mm-hmm.
Literally 30 seconds after he wins, WWE with the tweet, "What a way to kick off Gay Pride Month." And this was in the middle of the storyline when Ted DiBiase was deciding who was going to be the $1 million champion or the $1 million man or carry the belt or whatever it is. And I even joked at that time. I said, well, in storyline, Jake Atlas should be seriously considered. He just beat LA Knight. And I said, you know, not for nothing, I totally respect whoever you want to date, you know, whether it's same sex, opposite sex, whatever. That I have friends, close friends of mine that are bisexual, some are gay. I don't care about someone's sexual preference, all right? All I said the first week in June was, I thought it was so fucked up that WWE had a tweet on standby with cute, colorful emojis that as soon as Jake Atlas got that pin, boom, tweet the world. And I said to myself, and then I said, yo, fuck it, I'm going to speak it on the show. And I said to every one of you out there, I said, I wonder if Jake Atlas would have got that win if he was not gay. And how fucked up that is that you actually have to think about it and say, wow, did he just get a win simply because he's gay? And then I said, let's wait a month from now and let's see where it goes. Let's see if Jake Atlas is really getting a push, or is this just being done because it's Gay Pride Month? Anybody remember that? Then we get Mercedes Martinez. Mercedes, come forth. Mercedes Martinez also teamed up with Jake Atlas.
Right.
Right at the end of June. Right at the end of June. I don't think WWE was expecting an injury to happen at that time. But obviously the injury happened and she was off TV. And Gay Pride Month comes and goes. I don't know about for her, but for Jake Atlas, to me, it felt like, and this is just coming from a heterosexual, it came to me, in my opinion, the perception was that they gave this inclination in June that they were going to push him and he's finally getting an opportunity. And I said, you know, this just feels like it's because it's Gay Pride Month. Now he's released and I say to myself, wow. I mean, I unfortunately could never ever dare, because it's Black Month, that I start having black guests on the show. Or if it's gay month, I start having gay people on the show. Or if it's Indian month, I have Indian people on the show. I have people on the show because I want them to. Because they earned it, they deserved it, and they work hard. Not because to capitalize on, and this is just me coming from. So for me, that annoyed me quite a bit because I'm like, man, you know, get your agenda out the window. And now it's like, ugh.
But let's be honest about this. Look, if he won the match, if he won any matches, if they won any titles, if they won anything because they were gay or because it was Black History Month, that's wrong. But the fact that WWE highlights these things, I think that's what those times are actually about. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think it's sometimes a little weird. Like, For example, let's talk about the way that WWE handles Black History Month. When they start showing Martin Luther King and they start showing like all of these people that have nothing to do with wrestling but have to do with Black history, it feels forced and it feels fake. But when they started doing things like recognizing former Black athletes that were part of WWE, WCW, et cetera, that felt more realistic. That felt like the correct thing to do. Same thing with gay pride. I think that's the way WWE should do it. Here are a list of athletes that WWE celebrates that have worked underneath WWE or WWE's corporate umbrella, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Not, hey, are you gay? Would you like a title? You know?
See,
I think it really depends on how they pass it along.
I said this also the first week in June. WWE should not have been the one to post that tweet. You let everyone else post that tweet. Wow, what a way to kick off Gay Pride Month. Jake Atlas just defeated LA Knight. And right. You let other people have that perception. What got me mad more than anything is not just that WWE tweeted that, but you look at the exact timestamp of when Jake Atlas got that pin. It was less than 20 seconds later that somebody hit that enter button. They had it typed. They had it ready.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's, to me, it's disrespectful when you do stuff like that. You know, give someone an opportunity because they earned it. And if it happens to be during Gay Pride Month, so be it. So be it. But don't make it so obvious that the beginning of Gay Pride Month, Jake Atlas got a win. The end of Gay Pride Month, Jake Atlas and Mercedes Martinez team up. And that's the last we saw him on TV.
Well, Martinez was an injury.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, she still got released. Now, before we talk about Mercedes Martinez, I know we're doing this person a little bit early, but like I said, I intentionally chose someone else so we didn't have the same conversation twice, but I know Mish definitely would like to say a few words about this big man getting his release. Bronson Reed.
Yeah.
Everybody with the breaking news, pay for my Patreon. Bronson Reed's going to be on SmackDown confronting Roman Reigns or Otis. Like I said, fantasize as a wrestling fan. Don't charge people money for shit that you think is going to happen, because guess what? Not only did it not happen, he's now released.
Right.
I
saw a bunch of people kind of predicting that he was going to be on SmackDown. He was going to be on the main roster sooner than later. You know, this has been kind of the buzz for Bronson for a little bit. Matter of fact, they used that in order to explain why he lost the matches he did down in NXT.
Yes.
And now we're at the point where he's no longer a member of NXT. Now, as far as why he was released, I don't know. Honestly, out of a lot of the people that were picked, he was definitely a blue chipper. There was a lot of positives going for him. I don't know if it has something to do with any kind of backstage mentality. I've never heard a bad word about the guy. I've never heard of him being a problem. I've never heard of him working too difficultly, too stiffly with people inside the ring. So it's not anything that's ever come up, least notably to the public, about some of his like real world behaviors. And as far as the fans go, I thought that he kind of delivered more than a little bit of a buzz. So I'm not exactly sure what the end result reason is for letting him go. Dude, I was actually surprised they let Mercedes Martinez go, but apparently there's a big change, you know, going on in NXT, which isn't surprising because we've talked about this before. It's business. At the end of the day, it's really business, and I know it hurts people's feelings, but sports franchises do the same damn thing every few years. They'll just up and pump and dump half of the roster, and then they'll just pick up a bunch of kids right out of college. They're rebuilding the brand. NXT brand is supposedly getting redone. It's getting a facelift. It's getting a new redesign. I think it's just that time. And as far as I think that Bronson Reed could have went, apparently the powers that be that have control didn't think that this is the time for him. Now, let me throw this in there, though, too. Because one of the things that people think is that once you're fired from NXT or WWE, you can never come back to the company. Ever, ever, ever. Well, that's not true. There's no problems. I haven't heard anything. I haven't seen anybody report anything that these people were all personally fired by Vince because Vince McMahon hates each and every one of them. No. These people are just let go. They're going to give some of these people some time to grow, see where they are in a few years, and maybe bring them back to the fold, bring them back to the company. Sure, they could probably end up working at Impact, ROH, NJPW, AEW. Doesn't matter. Some of these people are just being let go to see where they go and see how they grow. You know, other people are being released, and I hate to say this, but Mercedes Martinez, love her, but, you know, as far as what people were saying is, you know, she's up there in age. They don't see much for her on the main roster, which I think is kind of baloney in my mind, because women like her and Mickey are amazing female athletes. So if that's the case, if they're starting to chop down people by age, I don't know if that's necessarily a reason for it, but I digress.
Well,
I'm not the guy that's doing the business dealings over there in WWE. I'm not the one making the firing. So the fact that they fired Bronson Reed is confusing to me. The fact that they let go of Mercedes Martinez is a bit confusing to me. But I understand it. Ultimately, I understand it.
We'll get back to Bronson Reed in a little bit. But before I even talk about Mercedes Martinez a little bit, for those out there that are curious of the ages for everybody who was released, Marco Manticoli, thank you very much, brother.
Thank you, dude.
We'll definitely get into your comment in a second. Thank you very much, my friend. Bobby Fish is 44 years old. Bronson Reed is 32 years old. Jake Atlas is 26. Ari Sterling is 34. Conor Reeves is 30. Leon Ruff is 25. Stephen Smith, the referee, is 31. Tyler Rust is 34. Zek Smith is 27. Asher Hale is 36. Giant Zangier is 34. Mercedes Martinez is 40. And Denzel Dejonet is 27. Now, as far as Mercedes Martinez goes, you know, this one is a little intriguing because, you know, there's been a lot of talk that WWE wanted her to remain as a trainer.
Yes. She was already training the girls.
Right, she was helping.
I don't know if you knew that. She wasn't given the title,
right,
but she was already known to be helping the girls down in NXT.
Right, but she wants to be an active performer. See, people need to understand something.
Just like Mickey.
Yeah, just like Mickey. Mercedes Martinez is 40. All right, now, imagine her eat, slept, shit, wrestling for 20-plus years. That is her love. She doesn't want to walk away from it. She doesn't want to be forced out from it. She still can go. 40 is the new 30. And she still has a lot left in the tank. And imagine, it's very easy for us as wrestling fans on the other side of the computer to say, oh, she should do this. Oh, she should have remained as a trainer. Oh, she should have done this. She would have had security. Tell that to someone who is now facing, you know, the final years of her in-ring career, and then somebody telling you, oh, you know, yeah, you could still go do it, but, you know, your age, you're not going to go anywhere, so, you know, might as well just be a trainer and take it. You know how upsetting and depressing and angry I would be at that? So, yeah, Mercedes Martinez, you know, if she could have greener pastures elsewhere, let her do it now. Like Mish said, when she's 45, there's no reason why she can't come back. You know?
Right. It's not like you're talking about somebody who is clearly suffering in the ring.
Right.
It's not like we're talking about she's a hard 40 and she just can't go like she was when she was 30, 35. Mercedes Martinez can still put on a clinic in that ring and does every time she steps into it. It's like I said, it's a bit baffling to me that they didn't want to have her as a talent out there and they only wanted her as a trainer. Maybe the idea was to pay her both would cost them too much. I'm not sure. I'm not sure the reason behind Mercedes Martinez, because she's already an established veteran. She's used to the ring and she can also train the girls. It almost seems like, don't you want people that can be all-stars? Because Mercedes Martinez, more than a lot of girls down in NXT, and even some of those that have come up from NXT, is groomed to be a friggin' all-star, you know? And that's kind of the role that she fills, but
yeah,
they Anzo see asks, things right.
Anzo asks, do we think she should have not been released if she was in Retribution last year? Retribution was just a really bad idea. This look, they'll never admit it, but WWE is trying to capture the publicity of Antifa. Look, Mercedes Martinez is 40. And the injury, you know, that, you know, in a match with Xia Li, you know, WWE is very, very scared when it comes to older wrestlers and serious injury. And I don't know if that injury shook WWE a little bit at all. I tend to think not, because these releases, I mean, if you look at it, she's the only woman who was released in this batch. But right, if you ask me, in my honest opinion, and this is such an awesome comment, Marco says he feels like most of these releases will be back in WWE, the wait and see game. Mercedes Martinez will be a fabulous trainer if that's what she wants to do when her wrestling
career. So, Mickey.
Right.
I mean, look, let's be honest. I know Mickey's running Empower. We got the Empower event coming up in St. Louis. And, I mean, I even talked about it a little bit on social media that I would love to see Mercedes Martinez versus Mickey James rekindle that age-old feud that they've had on the indies. Now, I understand that there is the 30-day clause and everything else like that. But who knows? Maybe if Mercedes said, hey, do you mind giving me a couple of days free on this so I can wrestle this without you throwing the book at me? Maybe they were cool about it. You don't know. And I do agree with Marco. The idea that it is a wait-and-see game, absolutely. Just because they're releasing people doesn't mean it's the end of their careers. I really think that a lot of people are confused by this. Big fucking journalists, wrestling journalists, are confused at the idea that just because you were released by WWE, your life isn't over.
Exactly. I agree. And you know what? This leads to... It's getting a little dark in here. By the way, I don't have all my lights on because we're like... It's still daylight outside and a lot of sunlight comes in. Am I... all right, I'll leave it. I'll keep it off. I could be a little intimate surroundings. I can make it brighter in a minute. But I think... Right now, Mercedes Martinez would be excellent, hear me out, in AEW. I think she could be similar to what Serena Deeb is. She could be a trainer.
Oh, yeah, same class.
And Absolutely. This is something people need to realize, too. Mercedes Martinez, you don't break the bank when you hire Mercedes Martinez. She's not headlining pay-per-views right now. She, you know, gets paid what she deserves, obviously. But as far as AEW, and now you're talking about CM Punk coming in and Daniel Bryan coming in, who knows with the Wyatts and others, and then now you got another TV show and this and that. You know, I'm sorry. You know, you see Mercedes, Nyla Rose. What?
Mercedes Martinez is actually a brilliant acquisition, and I'm not one of those guys that screams AEW every single person. But if you want a woman to establish themselves as a company-branded woman, Mercedes Martinez being pushed as a front-and-center woman for your company that's on TV is probably the smartest thing you can do. Mm-hmm. Because Mercedes Martinez, for many of us, we've seen her matches over the years in random indie promotions all over the world. But she's never been tied to, oh, that's an ROH girl. Oh, that's an Impact girl. Oh, that's a WWE girl. She's never been tied down by any different by any single promotion. So if any promotion, AEW or otherwise, could tie down Martinez and make her the focal point for their company, to almost sit there and say, look, we brought this veteran in, she represents our company. I mean, I just don't see any loss with that. Not only is it, hey, you're not biting WWE, at the same time, you're presenting fans with an actually very talented woman who can talk, who can work, understands ring psychology, understands how to motivate and piss off the audience, and has looks. You know what I mean? There's nothing really to her that I don't understand. And once again, going back to the idea of WWE releasing her, but I can see her doing a lot more than just being the person that helps elevate other wrestlers. I can see her actually being a star.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And she will definitely be a good asset wherever she goes, and she will find employment with no problem. So,
sure.
Yeah, we wish her the best. It sucks. This is not the way you ever want to see somebody go out. But, you know, Mercedes Martinez, she's 40. And not to repeat the same thing, but, you know, reminds me of Matt Hardy, reminds me of Christian, reminds me of a few others. You know how hard it must be when you're a wrestler your entire life, and now you're at an age where people are telling you, look, yeah, we'll use you, but you have to do things off TV. You know, like, you're not
sure.
You're not valuable enough to be, you know, that is a killer for a lot of people out there. So, you know, if she could still go, which she can, let her work somewhere else where she could be featured a little bit more on TV, and she could still help behind the scenes. And then when her career is over and she, you know, it wants to, then she could go back to WWE and help the women.
Without focusing too much more on the women's product as far as WWE goes, can we play a little bit of a guessing game here? Because I'm curious, do you think WWE is as talent-minded as they were even a couple years ago? Or do you kind of have the feeling like they're focusing more back onto like a diva's side of things again? Because it wouldn't surprise me. Some of the acquisitions that they have don't surprise me. Some of the directions that they have the women on the main roster performing in doesn't really surprise me. But it doesn't seem like it's being focused on talent inside the ring like a Shayna can give you. It doesn't seem like it's focused on what Asuka has been able to give us. And even Charlotte, as much as we enjoy her, seems to be more involved with storylines than she does in great feuds. Rhea Ripley, another character down in NXT who was fantastic and really understood her audience, is absolutely lost on the main roster and seems out of place. She's not playing to her strengths. Now Rhea Ripley is completely outside of her environment and doesn't make sense for the main roster. But that's what I'm saying is, like, we can sit there and talk about working on it, but it seems like they're not worrying about the talent in the ring as much as they are for the character and the persona that they're developing on the
ring. I'll give you a great example. Frankie Monet, Taya Valkyrie, is one of the most talented women that was not in WWE as of yet, you know, up until a couple of months ago.
Right.
She's come in, and they've done more about the dog and about Robert Stone and the skits with the other women, and she had one or two squash matches. We have not seen remotely what Frankie Monet could do. But about the booty bad. Booty bad. You know, whatever the fuck that is. And like Rye says, and by the way, Rye, thank you again, my friend. I don't have the video queued up, but, you know, I did not even realize that Monday. But for those that don't know, Rye was front row at Raw with showing the breakfast suit colors, and his bro got a hat from Riddle. So I know some of you have seen the video footage already. It's on my Twitter. But much love to you, Rye, and also, you know, keep battling the good fight. You know what I'm talking
about? Good for you, Rye, for spending the money on those tickets, bro. I know how much they were.
It's tempting me to pull up the video. Now I got to pull up the video. Absolutely, man. But, you know, yeah, here's the video. I can do whatever I want in the show. There you go. All right. And I got permission from WWE, by the way. Nice friendly email. Is it all right if I show, you know, just the footage of our bro getting the hat from Riddle? Look one more time. You'll see Rye with the breakfast. There he is. Yeah, fist bump. And the hat. And the hat. Haters love that shit, man. One more time. Rye Baker. There you go. He cheered Goldberg, which you got respect from me. Social media, you're not allowed to be a fan of Goldberg. You know, Goldberg, when used in moderation. People loved my analogy the other day, Mish. Goldberg is like a child getting a tetanus shot, like last year. Goldberg last year comes back, feuds with Drew McIntyre. It's like a child with a tetanus shot. I don't want a needle. No, Goldberg. No, 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 Goldberg. Ah! It wasn't so bad. Same thing's going to happen this year. But, no, Rye is absolutely right. WWE is supposed to be the cream of the crop. And, unfortunately, with the exception of maybe Bronson Reed, you know, I'm not saying Mercedes Martinez was not the cream of the crop, but she does have the age factor going up against her. Some of these other wrestlers, it never clicked. Some WWE gambled on, and it didn't work. So, you know, this is what happens when you have 50, 60, 70 people training, and you're like, are we going to do anything in any near future with this guy? No.
Now,
yeah.
Do you think that this has anything to do with the collaboration between Triple H's team and down in NXT and Kevin Dunn's team up in WWE? Because obviously NXT, for a lack of a better word, graduates to main roster. When that happens, isn't it pretty much up to the creative team that's run around by Kevin Dunn in order to decide who from NXT they want, who from NXT they can plan for? So is this more of a reflection on directions from NXT and what we've seen done in NXT? Or is this more of a reflection from the main roster creative not knowing what to do with the people that were released?
I think you look at the results of the TV and takeover in for 2021. And, you know, we've taught, look, I'm not saying we like or dislike Nick Khan, but as far as business goes, the guy gets high praise because he is squeezing as much. This is one of the things in business. Again, we got to separate our wrestling fandomhood and business because they're not the same. But you hire someone to work in your office, in your store, whatever it is. You want to squeeze out every bit of talent that that person has to offer. You hire a secretary, types 100 words a minute, can do this, knows how to do this, knows this program, knows this, can speak three languages. You know, you want to squeeze as much as you can. And I think what happens is that, again, like you said earlier, which is so on point, NXT is not a huge moneymaker for WWE. It never was. It is supposed to be the developmental ground so they can make money for WWE. WWE does not need filler. They don't need filler because they could pull someone from an indie group to do a squash for this person, whenever they want. So after 6 months, you do your investment call. Now you got to start working on quarter three. And you look on paper and you see, all right, give us a list of people who are not on TV right now. And you look at the list and you look at the income and then you say, okay, what are we doing with this person? Where are we at with this person? I guess, you know what? And we'll segue to another person now because obviously there's some names on this list that a lot of you are not aware of, but there's one person I want to bring out. But Puppy89 says the releases are getting out of hand. Pretty soon someone will be released while they were on TV. That is
Aleister Black.
That is, but yeah. That could happen.
Aleister Black was released while he was on TV.
I don't think it would ever happen in the ring.
Aleister Black was literally released mid storyline. So I don't know. I mean, that's pretty jaw jacking right there. You know.
Yeah. Just a side note. King of Games 405. Thank you, my friend. He wanted to know if either one of us are planning on seeing the Suicide Squad movie.
No.
I'm going to watch it with my fiance. She wants to see it. So I told her I would watch it with her. Yeah. Obviously, you could tell I'm still very, very sick. And by the way, let me throw this out there right now. People think there's a possibility I have COVID. No, I have not gone for a COVID test. Right now, I never had fever. You could see I'm sweating up a storm. I think what happened was I was run down all week, getting 2 hours of sleep too many days in a row, air conditioning blasting, and then doing Road Warrior Hawk impersonations at the top of my lungs with a scratchy throat did me in. Last night, I was out of it. But, you know, I don't think I have COVID. It feels like somebody punched me in the neck. That's what it feels like. If somebody ever gave you a punch in the neck, this all hurts. But other than that, I'm fine. No congestion, no fever, no nothing. But, yeah, so I probably will see it. Probably would see it. One more, Nero Faye. People are dying in WWE more than they are in the Middle East. I can't even joke like that. Look. By the way, for those that don't know, Nia lives in Israel. So trust me, in real life, he goes through a lot over there. Let me say one thing about everybody who was released. It's a little reminder. You go for an office job, and it's unionized. You know that you get the job, and you don't screw up. You work for a supermarket. You work for a meat grinders union. You work for a construction company, construction union. You become a teacher. Teacher's probably the best example. If you don't fuck up, your job is pretty much secure. Unless, even if a school goes out of business, they probably would relocate you to another school. When you sign to become a wrestler for a company, especially when you use the independent contractor aspect to it, you know, your job is not secure 6 months from now, 6 years from now. It's not secure. You are, in a lot of ways, an undiscovered talent that you have to adapt to WWE's programming. You know, WWE's programming, their style, the way they write, the way they tell stories, the gimmicks, the this and that. You know, people aren't forced to work there. So when they work there, they feel that they are an asset to that company. And they also feel that even if they came from a different part of the wrestling world where it was nothing like the WWE cartoony stuff or whatever, they feel that they are good enough that they can reinvent and tweak and fit into the... And for a lot of people, it does not happen. There is a huge element of risk. If you work for a company... or a wrestling company, and there's only 30 people on the roster, you know, your job is probably a little bit more secure because there's so few people there. But when you become a company and they got as many people as they have, you have to have some stellar talent about you that just shines like no other. Otherwise, and we see it in the case of some of the names released, that you will be let go. There's an element of risk. Every wrestler that signs a deal with WWE knows that they could be fired at any point. But that's a challenge and that's a risk they're willing to take. As wrestling fans, we're upset as hell. As businessmen, though, we look at it and we're like, okay, WWE's main fault, it's not Kevin Dunn. It's not Bruce Pritchard. It's the people that every time they want to look at fresh faces, oh, let's bring these 12 people into the performance center. Yeah, but we got 40 already. That's all right. We might find one, two good people at it. Oh, let's bring 10 people from here. Let's bring 8 people there. Those are the people that should be on the hot seat right now.
Right.
That's really what it is. You know, it's like playing Monopoly. You know, you can't turn around and buy every single property simply because you think you have the cash and like, oh, no, the rent will turn it over and this and that. And if I really, it doesn't work, I can. No, sooner or later, you have too many properties and you don't. I'm not saying WWE doesn't have the money, but this is where Nick Khan and other people come into play. Why do we have all these people on here? Here, let's go to this person. Kona Reeves. You know, he came from office school. What year was it? I took some notes. Kona Reeves, did I take any notes from him? I don't even think I needed to. He came to WWE, I think, in 2014. He went from office training school to the WWE 2014 or 15, around there. He was on TV a little bit. They took him off TV. They repackaged him in 2017, The Elite, or The Elitist, Kona Reeves. Damn, I thought I took notes from him. Oh, I do have it. They called him the finest, Kona Reeves. Kind of looked like a Hawaiian Ricky Starks, but this was 2017. So no, they didn't copy Ricky Starks. They just let him go. Now, In hindsight, you know, it's a little surprising because he came from office school. He was pretty talented. But his entire wrestling career, for the most part, was in WWE. Now, you realize 6-7 years, he's with WWE. And you look at it and you say to yourself, what are we doing with this guy? He's 6 years. And where the... Right. So, Kona Reeves is one of those that was gone also. Your thoughts on Kona Reeves?
No, nothing to think about. It's just another bloated wrestler.
Exactly.
You know, it's... That's unfortunately, that's what I'm going to say about pretty much everybody else. The only two people on this list, maybe three, that even had a name are people that we've talked about, with maybe the exception of Bobby Fish, but I wasn't a huge Bobby Fish fan. It's the thing is that most of these guys can go, and it's not like they're underneath some kind of like you can never return ban from WWE. So the knee-jerk reactions by a lot of journalists out there that are pretty much preaching that this is the death of WWE or NXT, it's silly. It's even silly to talk about. So the fact that we have another bus flip, good. WWE's had a bloated career for a bloated roster for years. I don't know what else we can possibly say about it. It's been bloated for years. We've all bitched and complained for years. There's too many people. Why isn't my favorite guy getting pushed on TV? Oh, it's because it's the Seth show. Oh, it's the Roman show. Oh, it's the Cena show. Oh, it's the et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It's always been somebody else's fault for the reason that new talent doesn't get pushed up. So now when WWE, underneath Nick Khan, finally remedies the problem that we've been talking about for years, people are losing their minds. How could you fire somebody in the middle of COVID? It's business. It's not like this is personal. I just don't understand the mindset behind it. Sports franchises do this all the time. Other companies do this all the time. It isn't unheard of. It's not as if these guys are barred. So the idea that now we've lost Kona Reeves, oh no, I hope WWE can survive.
He is 30, and I think all his wrestling career, other than Offa, might all be WWE. So the fact that he was in that company for that long and really never was amounted to it, I'm a little concerned about his future. You know, I mean, hopefully he can, you know, put it together, maybe reinvent, you know, indies. Why not? I mean, one thing we could say, most of the people that were released had some pretty good talent to them. Now, there were a few others. I mean, there are a few others that we obviously have to talk about. Yeah, we could talk about this guy. And I purposely kept his height to try to coincide. Giant Zangier. This is one of the gentlemen that came from Kali's school overseas. Right. Former basketball player, 7'2", 340 pounds. They thought that they could turn him into a wrestler. In WWE's eyes, they thought wrong. So
they tried.
They tried.
Isn't that the whole point of the Performance Center? Isn't that the whole point of NXT?
Yeah.
Let's see what they can do.
Chris Segovia says, Kona Reeves to MLW. That's not bad. That's actually not bad. There's someone else that I could see in MLW. We'll get into him in a moment. But look, this guy, it's interesting. You know, they're going to be going to Saudi Arabia very soon. So, you know, a lot of us thought that this guy might, you know, get to show what, you know, how he's improved since then. But unfortunately, WWE just did not feel that there was enough there to keep him. I don't know where he goes as far as wrestling is concerned. But they tried. They tried and it didn't work out. Now, speaking of trying also, we could bring up this gentleman. Where is he? I know I didn't accidentally delete you. Oh, this guy. This guy, so popular, I couldn't find a PNG version of him. PNG, Zach Smith, 27 years old, 7 foot tall as well. Another basketball player, you know, was very, very talented in college basketball. And WWE signed him last year. They tried to turn him into a WWE superstar. In their eyes, no. It's another guy. We don't know what his future will be. But that's why when WWE signs some of these people to the Performance Center, we got to really pay attention to where they came from. Because when you see fitness model, you know, that TV show, you know, with all the, you know what I'm talking about, that show with that The Rock hosted or whatever, you know, Young they're not, Rock. Was it?
Young Rock?
No, not Young Rock. It's that show where they do all the challenges, almost like American Gladiators. Remember they brought in Anzulis?
Yeah. They brought in
Anzulis. You see football players, see like the guy from Hit Row, you know, right. I mean, he came from football. They were able to get him to the next level, and they got him in Hit Row. For these guys, though, didn't work out. So he's gone, too. He's gone, too. 7 foot tall, did not work out. Now, the one person that I'm a little surprised about is this guy, Ari Sterling. You know, I know a lot of you out there know him as Alex Zane. You go back a year and a half. Alex Zane was one of the most talked about wrestlers on the indie circuit. That this guy, it's funny because if you put the hair aside, he looks like Joe Cronin. Doesn't he? He looks like Joe Cronin. You know, he could do, but Joe doesn't feel well. He could have Ari Sterling do it. No, but this guy was one of the standouts on the indie circuit. And I'm a little surprised at his release, but I think that guy goes to MLW in a heartbeat. Ari Sterling, if any of you out there never saw him work, look him up as Zane. I almost said Shane. Alex Zane. Guy is one of the better performers out there. Maybe he goes to Ring of Honor. I don't see him in AEW at all. I don't think he would be able to shine on AEW's roster. You know, you get a match on Dark here and there, but ultimately you get squashed from Brian Cage or somebody, you know? Any thoughts on Mr. Sterling?
No, none.
Yeah, I mean, some of these names never really got much of an opportunity. Asher Hill. Wait, is that Asher Hill? Yeah, that is Asher Hill.
Yeah, that's Asher Hill.
Another guy that a lot of people thought, you know, that he was going to go somewhere in WWE, they signed him only 6 months ago. They signed him. They just feel, nah, why keep him for the, you know, if they're not doing anything with him after 6 months, gotta cut ties. So Asher Hale is gone also. Just removing some of the pitches here. Okay. We're saving some of the more notable names. Now, I don't mean to sound like a jerk with this one. I don't mean to sound like a jerk with this one, but I brought this up before. Any of you out there, when you were a kid, did you ever go to a diner? Or maybe if you have kids or a little brother, you go to a diner, and so the kid doesn't start misbehaving and yelling and screaming. They give the kid, like, some crayons. They give him, like, a paper to draw on, and then they usually have a menu. And the menu will have different activities on it, and then they'll have something called, what doesn't belong in this picture? It'll be a tree, and they'll have a cat in the tree. They'll have a monkey in the tree, and then they'll have a car in the tree. You ever come across that? I mean, you've been around youngins, you know, with your. You ever go to a diner and they offer the kid something like that to play?
Sure, of course. Right? Of course.
So now, if you think of that perspective, let's look at a recent recruit from the WWE roster, and who's the car in this picture? Who's the car? Indy Hartwell is the cat. Scarlett is the monkey. We're talking about they fit for the tree. Stephen Smith, referee.
Is Shotzi the tree?
No. Well, Shotzi is the leaves. She's actually, you know what? They're the pretty flowers in the tree. Unfortunately, Stephen Smith is the car in the tree. He tried to cut it as a wrestler. They put him in as a referee. Actually, this is a picture of him as a referee. Did not work out, so he is gone also. He was not there all that long. So obviously, they just felt that, you know, it wasn't working out for him as a referee, and they cut ties with him as well. So not really much to think about there with him, but he is gone too. Stephen Smith, 27 years old. Maybe he could go back on the indie wrestling circuit. hone his craft a little bit more, or even as a referee, hone his craft a little bit more, and maybe down the line he get another opportunity with WWE. So
maybe.
Yeah. We talked about Jake Atlas before. He's got his whole future ahead of him. I think he's got to reinvent his character a little bit. He would be perfect for Ring of Honor. I think he would be excellent in MLW. Maybe NWA, but I don't see AEW. I think he needs to work on his character. His talent is there. But when everybody does flippy-flippy, nobody does flippy-flippy. You know what I mean? Like, right. There's something. I'm telling you, Mish, any of you newer fans out there, the shows, welcome aboard, by the way. And if you're enjoying the show, hit the thumbs up. They missed the boat with Jake Atlas. When Drake Maverick got released and they had seller's remorse and hired him back, and they did that storyline where he was fighting for his career in that tournament, Jake Atlas, yeah, who was his friend, should have stabbed him in the back and caused Drake Maverick to lose. Jake Atlas at that time would have gotten nuclear heat, and they could have easily done something with William Regal that William Regal gives Drake Maverick one more match, and if he beats Jake Atlas, he could keep his job in NXT. They did not do it, and since then I thought Jake Atlas's career, and it just really never caught any momentum. And like I said, you know, right. I'm sorry if I offended some people earlier. I'm just telling you my honest feelings. I have no malice against any race, creed, color, sexual preference. I don't care. You know, everybody's the same. But, you know, I would not want, you know, I would not, it's just me, would not want, you know, to get an opportunity somewhere. And then I find out, dude, you know they only gave you that opportunity because you're gay, right? You know they only gave you that win because you're this, right? You know they only gave you this because of this, right? Like, it just felt so blatant on WWE's part. You just don't type that comment. 1, 2, 3, click. I feel bad for the guy because he's extremely talented. But the good news is, honestly, maybe with the exception of Leon Ruff, I think this guy will shine. I don't think he'll have any problem finding work out there. And it's, yeah, a shame that it never clicked with WWE.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's another case of somebody who's let go, and now it's up to them to kind of control the narrative of their future. I mean, the one thing that you have to really remind people is what they've done in NXT was underneath the guiding hand of the people that work in NXT, of NXT Creative, of Triple H, of Regal, of other people that are in that company. If they get the opportunity to go on the independents, which is what it is now, then believe it, that they're going to be watched closely, not only by different promotions, but also by WWE, to see what happens. Guys like Jake Atlas just doesn't mean that the story is over. Jake Atlas might find a completely different character in ROH and might become a completely different person than what people remember in NXT. And WWE might see that down the road and find value in it. I think that's where we have to look at this point. I think it needs to stop being a funeral dirge. It needs to stop being a memoriam for people that have lost their jobs with WWE, and more of a celebration of, look, you guys have had the opportunity to wrestle for WWE. You guys have had the opportunity to make better money than you would on the independents, for the most part, depending on who you are. And now you're back on the independents, and it's an opportunity for you to grow, for your character to grow, for your ability to grow, for your experience to grow. So I just, these bus flips are usually for us, you know, for myself and Joe, they've always been kind of like a tongue-in-cheek thing where we kind of laugh at some of this stuff. And we also sit there and we analyze the people that are released. But at this point, this is the company cleaning house. Jake Atlas didn't do anything wrong to anybody to deserve to be fired or to deserve to leave. It was just his time. The company felt, business-wise, it was his time to leave and his time to grow. So that's what it is.
I'm totally baffled at this release. I mean, I know he's engaged to ref Aja. You know, Leon Ruff, man, he got over. And I still, that match he had with Isaiah Swerve Scott was freaking awesome. And I remember doing a Wednesday show a couple of weeks after that. It might have been a month after that match. And I said, wow, what's going on with Leon Ruff? Might have been in the last 2-3 weeks he said that. I don't understand. Right. Like, you know, I don't want to compare his career to others out there, but you look at... So, now, the problem I see right now is even when Drake Maverick comes out there for a match, like Drake Maverick, whenever he is pitted in a match now, it almost feels like a squash, that he's about to be squashed by someone. And right. I look at Leon Ruff, and I look at the current climate of NXT, and I say to myself, okay, other than maybe a match with Kushida, it's like, where are the competitive matches? You know, I know we had Kyle O'Reilly versus Kushida recently also, but it seems like WWE and NXT have moved away from a lot of the competitive, this is awesome, you could root for both people in the match. It just feels very one-sided more often than not. Look at Ike Manjiro, all right? That guy is brand new. And, you know, we like his personality. He's uber talented. I've seen his work on some YouTube stuff. And they bring him in the breakout tournament. Of course, you know, most of us thought it's coming down to Carmelo Hayes and Odyssey Jones. But they bring him on TV just to have Ridge Holland destroy him. And now, I mean, no one's career is destroyed by one loss. But it sets the tone to me like, okay, like, where is Ike Manjiro going to have an opportunity to maybe go one-on-one for like 6-7 minutes with like a Leon Ruff or something? Where these two guys just tear the house down and people like, you know, that was a pretty fucking good match, even though neither one are getting pushed right now. And I just, I honestly, seriously, I look at this guy and I say to myself, how did they screw that up? How did they screw that up? Because everything about him seemed to work. It clicked. He wasn't going to be heavyweight champion. But talk about a guy that is so freaking talented and put on an incredible performance match after match after match, was able to go toe-to-toe with Damian Priest and others, and he gets cut. I don't get it with him.
Well, what do you mean? What don't you get?
What I don't get is, like, I understand they're trimming their roster, and I understand that they're having, you know, some cuts, but this is one of the guys that you look at some other... Look, I'm not one of those that says, holy shit, they released Bray Wyatt, but they keep Eva Marie on the roster. I don't do that. But I look at Leon Ruff, and I see some of the others that they have kept on the roster, similar in size, similar in style. And I say to myself, how do you cut ties with this guy when you leave 10, 15 other guys on that roster that are not even half as good as Leon Ruff? And Leon Ruff doesn't break the bank. He didn't go to WWE's offices and give me a, I'm engaged, give me $150,000 or I walk.
Do you think, okay, let me throw this at you too, because then this is another side of it, which I kind of wonder if this is a problem. WWE likes their talent to work WWE style. Do you think it's a problem, more so now than ever it was before, where a lot of these athletes that have almost too much training on the independents, they can't break their style and work WWE style? Do you think the company is past worrying about things like that?
I think you're absolutely right on that. Some of the people released, I could see that for sure. But Leon Ruff was one of those that connected with the fans. And
I understand that, but if he didn't work the style that WWE wanted him to, if he didn't work in the way that the powers that be want him to, and they can't see a future of that on the main roster, even though he was amazing down in NXT, doesn't that make sense as to why they released him? Once again, I don't know.
Playing devil's advocate.
WWE won't forthcomingly open up and say, well, we release Mercedes Martinez. We release Bobby Fish because we release. They don't say that. They just say, thank you very much. Budget future cuts. Endeavors, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
Oh, and budget cuts. Right.
And can we just throw this out there again? And I'm sorry that we have to repeat ourselves, but it's something that I don't think other people out there that do shows and blogs and websites, I don't think they're that stupid, everyone. I think it's blatant. You know, when they mock WWE, and I'm not defending WWE, but I'm going to just explain it to you. When WWE cuts people and cites budget cuts, when they have record profits, you know, there's people out there that will jump all over that and say, how can you call budget cuts when you're making record profits? This is basically how it works. Okay. I get paid me X amount of dollars a month for whatever I do. Okay. I have where I could put $500 a month towards food, $1,000 a month towards rent, $300 a month towards this, this town a month towards that. And the idea is at the end of the month, I have money left over so I could put it in a bank and maybe pay for my wedding next year. Or if I want to do this, or if you have a business, you want to reinvest, you want to have a nest egg, you want to do this. So when WWE right now has a budget, let's just say they have a budget and their budget is $50 million in payroll. $50 million. And then Nick Khan or somebody goes in there and says, wait a minute. We got Raw, SmackDown, NXT, 205 Live, main event, international commitments. We could do the same thing with $30 million in payroll. And what starts happening is they take people off TV. And then they take this person, they put him on main event. They take this person, they put him in a dark match. You had Austin Theory and Indy Hartwell work two dark matches before SmackDown 2 weeks in a row. Are they getting pushed up to the main roster? Does it feel like that right now? No. But this is what they started to do. And then they start to see, yeah, we actually can run this show with $30 million in payroll. So we changed the budget to $30 million instead of $50 million. So now we got to start cutting people. Why am I being cut? Budget cuts. Budget cuts does not always mean that you're financially in the red and you need to trim back. Oh, I'm not working right now. I got to cut back on this. I can't do this. You know, my drinking has to be. That's not how it works all the time. So when you hear the budget cuts, you know, when people jump all over it and use the, whoa, your record profits, I think people are just trying to get people's. Catch people's emotions, you know, like pull your strings to get you irate and pissed off too. So everybody could yell together. I don't agree with a lot of that, but that's just the fact. That's just the fact. And it reflects it in the investors' calls and it reflects in the stock market. So Leon Ruff, where do you think he goes, Mish?
Independence.
You know, I hate to say this because I don't mean it as a black thing. I don't mean it as a black thing, but who is the gentleman that left WWE on not so great terms? I'm drawing a blank right now. And
Miles? Signed.
What? No, not Jordan Miles.
Jordan Miles?
No, he was managing Lashley. Lashley. My God, I'm drawing a blank. Brain fart right now.
ACH?
Oh, that's Jordan Miles, the same person. Yeah, I'm drawing a brain fart. Who is it? Someone in the chat room, Rich Swan. Good choice, Andrew. Everyone, Lashley. Holy shit, he just retired.
Are you talking about
he just Drew? Retired. Leo Rush, Drew? Thank you.
Thank about you,
Austin
Nitz.
Rocky
Drew.
Red, Amzo, Dorian, Harrisby, Danske. Leo Rush. AEW had him come in the Casino Battle Royal, the Joker. Leo Rush. Had to retired because of injuries. Similar style, similar size, similar look. Not saying it's a black thing. I think Leon Ruff would be the perfect replacement for Leo Rush, since Leo Rush can't do it in AEW.
Maybe.
Just an idea.
Maybe.
You know, just an idea. I just think, you know, because look, you want to fill the spot of a big man. You know, okay, this person is similar size, similar this, similar that. I think he'd be a good fit to replace Leo Rush. So, but I wish him the best, man, because I tell you, out of everybody, you know, I'm pretty baffled about that one. So, We're down to four releases that we're going to still talk about. This guy, Denzel DeJournette. We always joked about the name. It sounded like a salad dressing. You go to a restaurant. I'll take a steak, medium rare. Would you like super salad? I'll take salad. What kind of dressing? Give me some Denzel DeJournette. Are you a little surprised WWE didn't go farther with this guy or it didn't click? Because, man, no. At one point it felt like they were going to push this guy.
Did they?
It felt it. I mean, when they changed his name, it really felt like they were going to, you know, not put the sales behind them, but it seemed like they were going to build a little momentum with this guy, and then he disappeared. Remember my fantasy match? The first win for Karrion Kross's career, I wanted him to destroy Denzel DeJournette. Don't ask me why. Yeah. But, yeah, you know what? That's a great one. DX Extreme, NWA, MWE. Leon Ruff would be great for the X Division. Hell yeah. Leon Ruff versus Rich Swann, Impact Wrestling. I think that would be pretty sweet.
Sure.
Yeah. But Denzel DeJournette, I mean, I don't know. Like, I look at him, and please do not take this any nefarious way, everyone. I could see him being a member of Hit Row.
Why not? I mean, there's not much talent on that group anyway, so sure.
I mean, look, I don't like Top Dollar, but...
I think you're seeing a lot of these guys in rose-colored glasses that I can't even see through myself, so...
Yeah. Well, yeah. One person I don't see with rose-colored glasses, this guy.
Who's that?
I wanted so bad to play a clip from a month ago when they debuted Diamond Mine. And I said to everyone, I said, you know, he will, other than I'm impressed with the muscular strength of his legs, he's got muscular, you know, features on his legs that I'm very jealous of. But to me, he always looked like a jacked up James Ellsworth. They put him with Diamond Mine, and it just, yeah, you might all remember a month ago, I said, it felt like something in the back went, you know, when they first thought about Diamond Mine, oh my God, yeah, we do it like a Gracie school and this and that. And then it was supposed to debut. And then in the debut, and Arturo Ruas, who was going to be the featured part, he's going up to management like, are we going to debut this week? I don't know. And then they debuted. And they didn't, the first week, they didn't give a microphone to Malcolm Bivens to explain what Diamond Mine is all about. They come out there, they leave Kushida laying, and they're all wearing sweatsuits that look like they were both bought in the clearance section in Walmart. And this guy having matches.
He was their blue chipper.
It never fit. When they were doing Diamond in the Rust with Malcolm Bivens, people remember me saying this 6 months ago. Leon Ruff should have been with
Diamond in the Rust. Isn't that when you take your knuckle and you drag it alongside the girl's ass?
You're much more creative in the sexual department than me, man. Me, I'm just laid back and like, okay.
I need an Urban Dictionary ruling on that name.
You know what? People don't know, but Matarazzo is in the Urban Dictionary. It's officially in the Urban Dictionary now. They came out with the 34th print of it. Matarazzo is in the Urban Dictionary. I created that word circa 1990. But this guy, talented, but as I was saying, when Malcolm Bivens had him in his corner, he's a diamond in the rust.
Yeah.
It just sounded like a Fed line that was horrendously stupid. He should have managed Leon Ruff, and it's you just step in shit from it. Leon is a diamond in the rough. Get it? Rough, diamond in the rough. It's perfect. No, we give him Tyler Rust instead. Diamond in the rust. What does that mean? I don't think rust is ever a good thing. I don't think, would you want anything rusty? Why does rust a good thing? Like, if I suck in the ring, I mean, he's just rusty.
Trombone?
You know,
everybody wants a rusty trombone, don't they?
You don't want your trombone to be rusty. You go to a car wash, and then something like breaks off on the bottom. What the hell was that? Oh, no, it was just a little rust. Oh, okay. Yeah. That's a good thing. Rust is never a good thing. Why would you have a wrestling name with the name Rust?
Isn't Rust you? Well, see, I could go down. Rust is definitely a,
go there. It's code okay.
word. It's code. Isn't it code for like a like eating a woman on her rust?
I have no idea. But I want to shout out a Facebook friend, Kiss Gibson, I think it's Quee Gibson.
Little brown, little red, you know, little rust.
No? He's from Philly, by the way.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he just got clear. From Philly. Shout out to you, my friend. But seriously,
thoughts and prayers, mother.
You know, me, it's like when I was trying to come up with like a wrestling character name, my original name was Tony Cannoli because I came out with cannolis. And I'm like, that's awful. And then, you know, for those that already know the story, you know the story. But one night, this guy that I always wanted to beat the shit out of, he showed up at an indie wrestling event that I was working at. And bunch of people told me, oh, my God, he's sitting third row. So I had cannolis, and I picked up a bunch. I went up to him. I uppercutted him in the face. He had cannolis going out of his nose, his ears. I went outside, broke his glasses, left the building. Everybody popped. I felt like $1 million, and you have one asshole come up to me. It's like, why did you do that? I'm like, because he ripped off a lot of people that I know, and he ripped off my nephew for hundreds of dollars. So he's like, well, why would you do that? He's like, you got to be the better person. What do you think? You're a Don? You're wearing a suit, John Gotti shirt? What do you think? You're a Don? I said, yeah, I'm a Don. I'm Don fucking Tony. And the guy walked away like, and then everybody's like, yeah, you go, DT. And that's how the name was created. I just can't picture this guy at home working out. His legs are impressive. My God, if I died tomorrow, I would want those legs in heaven. He's working out. He's building in his career. And this is an ad. What do you want to call me? Tyler Rust. It's like, seriously, I wish you well, but get off my screen. Bobby Fish, safe to say, undisputed era. Once they were gone, he was done. Are you a little disappointed that the undisputed era is no more?
No, not at all. Not at all. I'm fine with growth. I think change is good. I don't necessarily think that, you know, any type of change to the roster or change in the direction or splitting up. Now, don't get me wrong. There's something to be said about when stables and stuff like that break up too early. But Undisputed Era had been around for a long time. It's run its course.
He's 44. He could still go. Other than maybe NWA, I don't know Impact Wrestling. I don't know, man. I mean, NWA, MLW. I wanted to say before, Ari Sterling, I think he'll kill it in MLW. I think he'll kill it in MLW. If not, Ari Sterling has got to go to Japan. New Japan.
Alex, you don't think he's going to go in AEW?
No. I think Alex Zane, New Japan Pro Wrestling. Bobby Fish, I think, may need to go to Japan also, if he wants to do that. Because I picture him on AEW Dark, and I picture him getting squashed like a grape from Lance Archer. I mean, Tony Khan may give somebody a win here or there to make fans just on social media for that week say, yeah, see, he's pushing him the way that WWE should have. Not realizing that the Undisputed Era was the biggest group on that company for years. Bobby Fish had a pretty damn good career in NXT. I personally think he went further than I think a lot of people originally thought. But I don't see much in the future in the States. Just my opinion. And we have one more person. I know we already touched on it a little bit, but it's only fitting that we finished out the releases with this guy. I mean, Mish has pointed out almost as agile as Bam Bam Bigelow. You know, you look at some of the big men from the past, reminded him, as you said, reminded you of a more fit Yokozuna.
Yeah.
The guy, it's very rare to have a big man that freaking agile. Had great matches, whether it was Johnny Gargano or, you know, Johnny Mountaintop. You know what I mean? Like, it didn't matter if what the wrestler's size was. Yes, we disagreed where they made him adapt to the styles of the smaller guys, which was a mistake. That was, I think, the first match with him and Gargano was a mistake. But, man, this guy, am I wrong to say this, Mish? One of the most over wrestlers in NXT?
I mean,
other than Kushida.
Cole. I think there was a lot of fanfare for the guy. I think he was definitely looked at in a positive way. I think a lot of fans actually enjoyed watching him. So saying that he was one of the top tier guys or one of the more recognizable guys that fans got behind. Yeah, that's fair. That's absolutely fair.
Marvin says Bobby Fish and Tyler Rush should go to Ring of Honor. That's not a bad one. That's not a bad one. I mean, you know, it really comes down to some of these guys are going to have to swallow some humble pie because they're not going to get paid on the level of what WWE was paying some of these guys. Some of them are going to have to really suck up their pride, and they're probably going to have to work for some venues for like $200. I mean, that's just the way it is. But Bronson Reed, you know, this guy is from Australia. I don't know. Did he ever make permanent residence in the United States? Is he living in Florida?
I don't think he did make permanent residence.
I don't think so either. Yeah. I mean, my fear is that he goes back to Australia and we'll see him online, but I think he'll be wrestling overseas. I don't know. I don't know what you do with this guy. I don't know. I don't see him fitting in AEW in any way, shape, or form. AEW does not handle their big men anywhere near the way they should. You know, Tony Schiavone with that sneaky little comment last week. Well, AEW is not known for the heavyweights or cruiserweights or middleweights. It's about everybody and opportunity. Yeah, fucking right. I don't think so. Where do you see Bronson Reed going?
NWA? He would be good in AEW. And let me explain why. Another guy with a lot of fire behind him is not considered branded. See, my thing is I know a lot of people want like these former WWE guys to go to AEW. I think a lot of them are hurt because they've been branded as WWE guys. I think a lot of them have been pigeonholed into characters that they've had to work at for years, Bray Wyatt included, even though I really enjoy Bray Wyatt. A guy like Bronson Reed doesn't have a branding, DT. Like, people should almost have a bidding war to have a guy like Bronson Reed represent their company. I guess I look at things differently because if you're trying to build a young company up with brand new people and establish your own stars, why do you go to a company that's already established people and have established stars and pick up their leftovers? Look, I understand that there's a lot of people in AEW, old, young, middle-aged, that are there because of WWE. But I think there's a lot of younger talent in there that haven't been on main roster television that could actually make a name for themselves in that company. They don't have to get the 30 guys working for fucking popcorn scraps from the movie theater floor to work Dark and Elevation and all that shit. You build up people that have already proven themselves to be a young branded talent or an unbranded talent, and then you fucking brand them. You brand those people underneath your banner, and now your brand looks twice as strong for half the work. To me, it seems like it's idiot science, you know, but I don't know, dude.
Thank you, Psycho. Bronson has residence in the U.S.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, I mean, I trust Psycho does his research, so I trust him. If he has residence in the United States and he wants to stay, the only thing is, I would think Bronson Reed is going to demand, you know, like some premium money. I mean,
no, now really,
you don't think so? Bronson Reed would demand like a nice pay? I mean, the guy relocates. I mean, look, The one thing I think we could all agree on, Bronson Reed was not breaking the bank in NXT. Nobody, I don't even know how much money Adam Cole was doing as far as in NXT. And by the way,
can I be honest? Do you think any of these, do you think any of these releases today, any one of them, were making six figures? Any of them. Do you think any of them were making six figures?
If anybody was making six figures, maybe Bronson Reed, but I don't think so. I really don't think so. I think, I mean, the more you think about it, you know what? Actually, you know what? I'll answer it like this. You know why he might have been making six figures? Because he was released. Hear me out. Now, I'm thinking he's the businessman right now. Bronson Reed was making 60 grand, 50 grand, 60 grand. You probably would be more inclined to say, you know, wow, we got this big man, so talented, this and that. At 50, 60 grand, that's a steal. You know what I mean? So if he was released, no behavior issues, one of the top talents in NXT, well-liked in front of the camera and behind, backs it up in the ring, one of the most agile big men that we have seen in a very, very long time. You look at how he was pushed in NXT, the tributes to Bam Bam and everything else. Then he's released. Maybe he was making that kind of money, and that's why they decided, like, if we're not going to use this guy, it's not smart to spend that kind of money.
Right.
I'm just thinking as a business person. Because, again, you got to separate the wrestling fan with business sometimes to try to understand it. Because as a wrestling fan, I do not understand releasing Bronson Reed. I do not understand releasing Mercedes Martinez or Leon Ruff. I don't understand releases. Some of the others, I totally get it and understand. But some of those people, they weren't killing it in the payroll department.
Right.
I mean, they weren't. I mean, you know, they just weren't. So... you know, and this is going to continue. I think if some people took the time and actually, you can't go on WWE's website for the answer, but there are some websites out there that you could get the information. If you actually research every name that is on the developmental deal with WWE, you could see another 20 to 30, maybe even 40 wrestlers being released over the next year. And personally, I'll close with this. You see, they're going to Nevada for SummerSlam. And you see, they're supposed to do some tryouts there. You see, in the next couple of weeks, another performance center picture with another 8 signees. And then 3-4 months from now, you see another one with 10 signees or 5 signees. Remember, all those extra names, because that's another 10 to 15 people who are already there, the WWE might say, you know what? We're doing nothing with this person. Get rid of them. And it keeps turning over like that. They keep hiring 10, 20. There's no more, let's hire one or two people to a developmental contract. No, let's hire a whole class. And then when you see 80% of that class ultimately released, they're bringing too many people aboard. So... any final thoughts on your end before we call it?
I think we pretty much got through it. I mean, did hour and 40 minutes talking about all the releases. I think it was pretty comprehensive all the way through.
Yeah.
I think at the end of the day, go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to tell everyone, we originally were going to take calls today, but we wanted to put this out there since not everybody was going to be able to tune in live. Let everybody watch this over the weekend. Digest what we said about the specific releases, and Monday night we'll be taking calls, so then you can react to what we said tonight. We also did this on Saturday, so this is not a conversation we have to do on Monday. Monday we could stick to Raw, we could do live calls, and we're going to talk about all those BS reports of Adam Cole getting an offer from AEW. We'll have fun with that on Monday. You know, it's like the AJ Styles thing all over again. You know, a website, bunch of sites, cut and paste. AJ Styles signed the deal with WWE. He's going to stay there. And AJ Styles himself tells the website that started all, look, I'm telling you straight from me, I didn't sign the deal yet. And instead of that website breaking, we got straight from AJ Styles' mouth. to clarify. No, they said, no, we believe our sources. We believe our sources more than the actual person. They just did it again with Adam Cole. You had Tony Khan himself say, we didn't offer a deal. Not, I can't comment, not this, we didn't offer him a deal. You know what people are saying? Sure you didn't. We'll right. have fun with that Monday. But in the comment section, you know, speak your mind. Anybody that really, really pisses you off, you know, that was released, anybody that really surprised you, other than, you know, the usual suspects, put up an argument for some of these people. But, Mish, it was fun. It was fun. I got a little nervous 5 minutes before showtime because I was not prepared to, like, switch all templates and everything, but it worked out wonderfully and saves an hour conversation on Monday, my friend. So enjoy the weekend. Oh, did you get the Atom Bomb stuff?
No, I haven't gotten it
They
yet.
Tried to deliver it to you because I got the alert. Oh. Yeah, so just...
Oh, okay.
Did you get the alert from UPS?
Yeah, I think I did get something on my door about it.
Yeah, definitely contact them because your neck of the woods, I don't know if they'll re-deliver it. They may make you go pick it up at their UPS center.
I think they might. So yeah. All right. That works. Thank
you. Much love, my friend.
See you, everybody.
Take care. All right, everybody. I am going to jet for tonight. I want to thank everybody for the well wishes again. I don't know what the hell happened with yours truly, but for me to not do last night's show, that's how bad my throat hurt. I wanted to rest it an extra night, and you know, luckily I feel a hell of a lot better today. It's not perfect. I'm not feeling all that well, but I have the rest of the weekend to rest, and we'll be back Monday once again. And, you know, like I said, it was good that we had this conversation now, so Monday we don't have to, you know, other than your calls about it. But I am going to post something in the community section. I really want you all to seriously think about it. Would you rather me do a Saturday evening show instead of Friday? I think doing both nights is a little overkill right now, but I know there's a lot of shows out there that do Friday night shows, and you know people have to pick and choose who they want to tune into. So I'm thinking, you know, Saturday night, 4 p.m., 5 p.m., 6 p.m. Eastern, around that time frame. What do you all think about that? So, you know, I'll post something in the community section. Actually, I'll do that tonight. And if there's enough of you out there that would like, you know, a Saturday evening, not too late. Because, look, I'm going to go off the air right now. It's 10 to 7. It's not 2 in the morning. So I tell you, this is a little bit of a pleasure to be able to do this so early and still have the night ahead of me. So, yeah, we could even consider Sunday. The only problem with Sundays is that WWE pay-per-views still happen mostly on Sundays. Yes, they're doing SummerSlam on a Saturday, but that was more because of the agreement with the venue. So Sundays, it would get a little bit kind of testy with pay-per-views. Yes, that's only once a month, but yeah, we could consider Sundays as well. So I'm going to throw that out there later for you all to think about, because I'll be honest with you, to take Friday nights off and to do something earlier, you know, that I don't have to finish at 2 in the morning, health-wise, that's great for me. But at the same time, you all, you know, may enjoy a little earlier showtime as well. So, all right. Be well, everybody. Much love. On the way out, if you wouldn't mind, where is it? Like, subscribe, share. If you have any friends out there, let them know about the shows. They may actually like it. I know from my years past, you know, there's a stigmata about me that I think is way outdated. And I think we're very fair on this show. I mean, you know, WWE, it's fucked up that they had this many people on the roster that now they have to resort to this. And it's not so cut and dry, obviously. You don't ever want to see someone without a job. But we also have to look at the, you know, current climate, inflation scares, COVID, you know, having a bloated roster. I mean, I know emotionally we just want to do this to WWE, but there's so much more behind it. And we didn't even talk about how all these releases might be healthy for other promotions, because then you don't have people competing for top dollar on talent that is more in a mid-card level. That's what happened with the Monday Night Wars. I mean, we all want, no question, we all want to see WWE versus AEW. Having wars as a wrestling fan is fun. I lived through the Monday Night Wars. King Malice, welcome, my friend. I'm getting used to all these alert things. As you notice, as the weeks go by, as the shows go by, it's getting easier and easier to work on this. And my friends, I didn't even have a chance to open this bad boy up yet. So I probably won't open it until next week. But anyway, I'm starting to ramble. So let me get out of here. Post your comments. If you know anyone out there that would enjoy the show, some of the stuff we talked about, some of the stuff I don't think a lot of people would even dare, you know, go in that direction, especially with the Jake Atlas stuff. But we're just being honest, man. It's no malice. You know, no controversy intended. We just speak how we feel. And I thank you all, as always, for the support. Thank you for the well wishes. So I am going to put this episode online, relax the rest of the weekend. I hope to see you Monday night, 11.05 p.m. after Raw. Make sure I didn't leave any super chats out. I did not. So I get to say goodnight, everybody.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. Doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who've claimed they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.